Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gujarat State Fertilizer and Chemicals Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anurag Kalani from Anurag Services LLP. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. On behalf of Anurag Services LLP, I welcome the management of Gujarat State Fertilizer and Chemicals Limited for earnings con call. From the management, we have Mr. V.D. Nanavati, Executive Director Finance and CFO, Mr. S.V. Verma, Executive Director Agribusiness, and other senior members from the management. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, post which we will have a question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, Nanavati, sir.
Good afternoon to all of you, and welcome to the Q3 earnings call of Gujarat State Fertilizers and Chemicals. The results are out, and we have uploaded the presentations and other information, which I hope you must have gone through. As we discussed during Q2 earnings call, we already had indicated that Q3 margin pressures will be there because of reduction in subsidy, while the input cost has not reduced, but in fact, it has increased. So in line with that, and as you might have seen the results of most of the agri fertilizer companies, the fertilizer margins were under pressure, as well as the volumes were also a little less because of the scattered rainfall and delayed rainfall during the season. GSFC is no exception, and our results also indicate that thing. It was thought that the government will do something to mitigate the situation by increasing the subsidy, but right now, there is no visibility or clarity on that account. So whatever rates are prevailing, we have to be with that and manage our businesses accordingly. Though 9 months, the volume increase in fertilizer was about 14%, but overall year, we will be clocking the 10% volume growth in fertilizer business, so we'll be reaching around 20 lakh metric tons for the year. But looking to the new plant that has been set up, ammonium sulfate 5, recently commissioned in January, we hope that we will be able to sell more volumes next year. So we project a sales volume of 25 lakh tons for FY25, which is a 25% rise over expected FY24 volumes. So as you might have noted, we continue on the growth path. With the Government of India budget for FY25 remaining more or less in line with FY24 budget, there are some reductions in the input cost. Phosphoric acid has come down by $17, and ammonia prices, which are more than $500, are now less than $400. So some relief in Q4 fertilizer operations may be there. Subsidy, the government has already provided for the supplementary budget of 13,000 crores. So subsidy received is regular, and for urea, we have received subsidy up to first week of January, and for phosphatic fertilizer, it is received up to first week of December. Most of you might have known about the recent notification on the reasonability of the PNK fertilizers. So, government has clarified that 12% margin over cost of production will be taken as reasonable margin, and beyond which it will be considered as unreasonable and may be mocked up. But compared to earlier notification of 2019, this is a better one, which clarifies that GST will not be part of the revenue of the company, so that will be excluded while calculating the profitability. Similarly, they have broadened the scope and whole segment, whole the fertilizer segment, either as an integrated manufacturer or as an importer or as a manufacturer, all the products will be clubbed together for ascertaining the profitability. That will be good, because earlier there was a kind of pick and choose approach which was hurting the industry. On the industrial product side, though we were expecting some reduction in benzene prices due to the crude oil prices going down, but it has not stabilized that way, and crude is again rising. So the CAPRO benzene spread has been around $700 and is expected to be like that for the full year. As far as the last year PAT, Q3 PAT is concerned, you might have noted that last year we adopted the new tax regime, income tax regime, which helped to reduce the tax burden. So, one-time effect of reduction in the tax rate was given in the Q3 PAT. So, it is not exactly comparable to the current PAT. So, around, say, 310 crore PBT of Q3 last year. If we take the current tax rate, it will have around 60 crores of rupees as a tax impact, and adjusted PAT can be said to be around 250 crores against the current 112. So, this is the broad scenario. We are expected to clock around 9,000 crores turnover this year, and next year revenue figures will be summed up after our complete budget is finalized. So thank you, and now we can move to question answer session.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Nirav Jamuria from Annual Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have two questions. So first is on the ammonium sulfate business. So let's say if we see FY23 numbers of our fertilizer business, we did something around 1500 crores of PBIT, which is derived from our segmental results. And our quarterly run rate last year used to be around 350 to 400 crores, which this quarter has fallen to 130 crores. So, is it because of the fact that ammonium sulfate prices have fallen as compared to last year, because of which our profitability is impacted, and with ammonia cost of ours being linked to the gas prices here in India and gas prices being higher, the impact on profitability is mainly because of the fall in ammonium sulfate prices, sir?
No, the prices are more or less same. Some discount is necessary to meet the competition, but main reason is the reduction in subsidy from the October 23 onwards by Government of India. Okay. So we get revenue from two sources, MRP which is paid by farmer and subsidy which is paid by Government of India.
Correct.
they substantially reduced all PMK subsidies from October onwards based on the formula they work for subsidy purpose.
Correct.
So, the subsidy reduction were anywhere from 30% to more than 50% in different products. So, that is why the it is showing up like this. Otherwise, demand-wise and MRP-wise, there is no difference between last year and this year. MRP has been fairly stable for most of the time because government don't want farmers to suffer. So MRP of most of the fertilizers are kept at the same level. But subsidy has been reduced. So that is the whole problem.
Sir, is it possible to quantify the hit which you have taken in Q3 because of the revision in the subsidy rates from October onwards?
No, it is not comparable because what if the government decides something, then it's a fact. So, subsidy from April is different. Subsidy from, say, October, April to January 23 was different. October to December 22 was different. So, different period government decide different subsidies.
Correct.
So, there is no real comparison as such.
Okay. And, sir, with this new AS capacity started from January onwards, our capacity for ammonium sulfate is now 488,000 tons, am I correct?
1 meter. Yes.
Okay. Sir, some of the ammonium sulfate is also produced as a byproduct of caprolactam. So, how much it would be out of our total production of ammonium sulfate?
It is difficult to say because production keeps varying. So, we don't see it that way. We see ammonium sulfate as one product and focus on it, production and sales.
Got it. Sir, second question is on the requirement of ammonia for both our fertilizer business and the chemical business. So, if you can just help us explain, like, what is our total requirement of ammonia and how much of the ammonia is met through our own production and how much we have to buy it from outside?
See, our Baroda complex is an integrated complex, so where we have all grassroots plants. So, we buy natural gas and then make ammonia out of it. So, almost all requirement of Baroda complex is made out of ammonia produced by us. So, the ammonia production is between 4 to 4.5 lakh tons here.
Okay.
You know, at Ipca, we import ammonia and sometimes we send it from here also if there is surplus. So, this is how it is mostly operated.
Okay. So some portion of ammonia would also be used for our industrial products also, where I think
definitely.
Sir, if you can just help us explain in terms of our cost of natural gas, because for the fertilizer, I think we will be getting some allocation from the APM quota, but for the chemical business, I think we have to either have some contracts with GAIL or GSPL there for the purchase of the natural gas. So, if you can just walk us through in terms of our total requirement of natural gas at the Baroda complex for ammonia production and split it between the chemicals and the fertilizer business.
You know, almost all ammonia is produced from gas, and so most of the natural gas is used for production of ammonia. Hardly something is used as a fuel. And so, now there is nothing like APM gas or anything like that. There is a domestic gas and imported gas, that is RLNG.
Correct.
So, but domestic gas production which is given for urea is, quantity is very less now. All these wells are dried up. So, domestic gas from other sources are used, which are commercially priced. So there is no cheap price like what earlier it was there, APM.
Okay.
So broadly, we require around 16 to 18 lakh tons of gas daily, effective of gas. And most 70-75% is used for fertilizer, balance is used for chemicals.
Correct. And sir, is it possible to quantify?
Only urea is passed through for ammonium sulfate and APS. There is the NBS scheme, so what price gas you buy, government is not concerned.
Okay, correct. And sir, is it possible to tell us what was the average gas cost for GSFC in Q3 and what was it in Q2 of FY24?
Yeah, so Q2, Q3, hardly there is any much difference between the prices. So broadly, it is around 45 to 50 rupees per SMQ. That is the Q3 versus Q2 price difference.
Got it,
sir. CPR gas prices are fairly stable.
Yes, yes, sir. So I have a few more questions, but I'll join back in the queue.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Shrenik Mehta from a self-independent investor. Please go ahead. Shrenik, may I request to unmute your line and go with the question, please? Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Manohar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Manohar, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, I'm having some two questions, sir. Regarding green ammonia, whether we are having any plan in near time, sir?
Yeah, we are trying to produce some green ammonia. So we have taken up the 10 megawatt green ammonia project. But right now, right technology and government clarifications are not available. So there is a slow progress in this.
Okay, sir. Sir, then whether any bonus or buyback expected, sir, any expected timeline?
Well, the board will take a call on this. So, but as you know, the government GR is there, so it will be taken up someday anyway.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Next follow-up is from the line of Shrenik Mehta, a self-investor. Please go ahead. Shrenik, can you
hear
us now? Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Please go.
Now, this is myself, Shrenik Mehta from Jamnagar. I am a minority shareholder.
Yes, yes.
Revenue for December quarter has reduced by 40% and profitability has gone down by almost 75%. Can you please throw light why it has gone down so much low? And second question is, the government GR is regarding giving 30% by way of dividend of net profit. Last year we were lucky to get rupees 10. How much we can expect dividend for the year ended 31st March 2024? Please, sir.
So, as far as the dividend guidelines are concerned, they are still there. So, 30% profit or 5% of net worth, whichever is higher, that we have to declare. So, even though the profit may go down this year, but our net worth, because of the past accumulation, it will not go down. So, I think 10 rupees or more dividend can be expected this year.
How much is net worth per share of our company?
Around 7,800 crore last year. When we 7,800 crore.
Yes.
Net worth last year when we studied it for the dividend purpose.
Yes.
So it will change because we declare 400 crore dividend, so net worth will reduce to that extent.
Mm-hmm.
And it will increase to the extent of PAT that we earn this year. So it will be decided by year end, I mean in the month of May 24, while finalizing our accounts, final figure will be decided.
Roughly, can you say how much will be per share? Roughly?
No. Dividend, as I said, it will be more or less 10 rupees or something more.
Okay, fine. And why the revenue and profit is going down for this quarter?
Yeah, so as you know, subsidy has been substantially reduced on fertilizer from October 23 onwards.
Yes.
While the price of various raw material has not gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Government works out subsidy their own way. So, though there is a price rise of raw material, they thought that subsidy should be reduced.
Yes.
So, that impacted the profitability and the top line both.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, this is the thing that are in our hands, say, volume of fertilizer sale. So, in 9 months period, there is overall 14% rise in fertilizer sales volume. And overall, for full year, we expect at the minimum 10% rise in sales volume will be there.
Yeah.
So whatever is in our hand, we are doing it best. But how government will move on subsidy front, that we cannot predict.
Yeah.
So, do you have any follow-up questions?
Sir, what about buyback, sir?
So, that board of directors will take a call at suitable time.
Right. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks
for giving me an opportunity to ask questions, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of M.S. Swaminathan. Self-employed CA, please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Ranavati, sir. This is Swaminathan from Chennai.
Good evening. Yes.
Please go ahead. I just have a couple of short questions. The first one is, further to whatever you have explained now quite lucidly, I see actually that as of 9 month end in the current year, our EPS per share is around 13.5 rupees.
Right.
Last year, for the 9 month ended 31st December, it was around 26. So we are currently at about half what was our run rate in the previous year.
Correct.
And I understand from you that yes, because the subsidy has gone down, there is an impact, overall impact in terms of profitability.
Correct.
But my concern is, and I also happen to be an investor in GSFC. So my concern is, what would be the year-end impact in terms of EPS? Where can we possibly see our EPS for FY24 from 13.5 now? Because last year it was around 31.5 annualized.
Right.
We have a shortfall of about 18 rupees nearly for the next coming 3 months, than 10 months.
Right.
Where do we see this number heading towards?
You know, last year was the highest profit year for GSFC in the history of GSFC. So, we have been telling the shareholders in this con call that the history will not be repeated every year. So, then it will taper down and it will normalize over a period of time. So, if you see all the fertilizer companies, last year they made good profits, but now they are also having difficult times, particularly Q3.
Okay.
So, there is no right now visibility about the fertilizer subsidy, whether government will take into consideration this input cost rise from January 24, do they give any subsidy division or will they give it from April as per the usual practice? All those questions are there, but if they don't increase the subsidy then from January 24 itself, then there are chances this will not, I mean, this will be also a normal quarter, Q4. And accordingly, this will, you know, EPS will be there. So, difficult to say, but the 26 rupees and, of course, the 31, 32 rupees for full year, those levels are difficult to achieve.
Fine, but based on the fact that if you, for example, say that it could be a normal year, assuming there will be no subsidy given, can we possibly, based on management estimates, I'm sure you'll have your own estimate, can we possibly expect it may at least touch 20 rupees? Probably. I'm not saying certainly. Will there be a chance if subsidies, additional subsidies not granted?
Difficult to say. It may not reach 20 rupees.
Okay. Okay, fine. My next question actually is just as a parallel between the other competitors that we have, I just have done some working. My gist is, I find generally with GNFC, or Chambal Fertilizers, FACT, Deepak Fertilizers, the book value and the price, market price when we compare, it's generally higher than one. The market price is much higher than the book value. Except in the case of GSHP, where I find that the market price is discounted compared to the book value. The book value, I think, as of September, not December, as of September was around close to 310. Today's market price is around 268.
Correct.
Any comments with respect to this? I mean, can we hope to see our market value also, price will also shoot up over the book value like our competitors by 31st March? Any idea?
Let us hope that, but because the investors see whatever perceived risk of, say, government control and all these things in the PSU and particularly fertilizer sector, they tend to discount or they tend to feel that whether this will be maintainable or not going forward. So, full push to the share price is not coming. But I would say that GSFC is a 60 years old company, and how long one can keep putting those doubts and these things in the performance. So this has been there consistently year over year, and we have number of times we are saying that there is hardly any government interference in our working. So those doubts are unfounded, but let us hope with this recent share price increase, the earlier gap has reduced to some extent, and with the company doing what this other shareholders are asking about this implementation of government GR on buyback and split and bonus. With those kind of steps being taken, I think this gap will be narrowed and may come in line with what other fertilizer companies are having, book value versus share price.
And my last question, thank you. My last question is, did we participate in the GNFC buyback proposal? I am not aware of it.
Yes. We participated because we are promoter, and before any filing is done with stock exchanges, the company has to declare whether promoters are participating or not. So we participated to the extent of our shareholding. But as you know, there are some quotas for retail shareholders and all these things. So, some 5% of the shares were offered for buyback.
Okay. Sorry, is it 5% or 25%? Sorry, I didn't get you.
No, 5% of our holding.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anurag. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Nirav Jamuria from Annual Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. So, sir, one question on the urea. I think what we have been undergoing is an energy consumption drive for our urea plant, which we have shared in the presentation. So, if you can just walk us through in terms of what is our current energy consumption in GKL per metric ton and how much it is now currently being compensated by the government. And with this energy saving exercise, how much cost savings could happen to us on an annual basis, which could improve our profitability?
No, government is doing this cost, I mean, energy reduction on the overall national interest. So it will reduce the carbon content in the atmosphere, and then it will make our urea plant more efficient in terms of cost of production. So this broader objectives are being followed by government, because as you know, urea is a complete pass-through, cost pass-through mechanism for subsidy.
Yes.
So even when the companies are reducing the GKL per GKL consumption of energy, that saving is taken over by the government. It is not kept with the company. So as far as the, if we are meeting these old norms, new norms, that will be to the benefit of government.
Correct.
Only if we do something more than what is government requires, only saving is kept with the company. Whereas if you just meet the norms, then there is no saving left with you. The HU consumption, the energy will be paid in form of subsidy. You don't keep anything with you.
So what is our current consumption of GKL and how much it is now compensated by the government?
Right now it is around 6.5 GKL per ton.
Okay.
And government is now insisting for 6.2 GKL per ton.
Okay, so we are already above what is being actually to be...
But they provide some relief, because this energy consumption is a huge exercise. So we will be spending around 450 crores for the government norms.
Correct. So sir, is it safe to understand that currently some of the fixed cost absorption which we need to be availed because of our energy consumption being higher, that is a cost on us, and that is actually driving or keeping our profitability down, and with this exercise we'll be actually coming below 6.2. So that extra money which is not getting absorbed through the fixed cost would be an additional cost saving for us.
There is not much loss because of some slight non-meeting of the consumption norms, because they allow companies to complete the capex plan to meet those norms. So, because as I said, it is a huge, neither government gives any capex support, nor do they want to allow companies to keep the saving with them.
Correct.
So, it's a win-win for government in both ways. So, they allow some time. So, there is not much loss that we are incurring for not meeting the norms. And post implementation in February 25 will be lower than government mandated norms of 6.2. So there will be some savings post say April 25.
Correct. And sir, out of our total urea production, I think we sell some technical grade urea also, which is, I think, not coming under the purview of the subsidy regime. So, if you can walk us through, like, out of our 4,50,000 tons of urea production, how much we would be producing technical grade urea?
No, technical grade urea is not produced from urea plant.
Okay.
All urea of our urea plant are meant for agriculture purpose only.
Okay.
Government don't allow to use it for technical grade urea.
Okay.
We have our melamine plant where urea is produced. for making it as a technical grade urea. So there that flexibility is there, so which we are using to produce PGU.
So, sir, is it possible to quantify some numbers, and if you can just share the dynamics of that business, like is that business profitable, or are they meaningfully contributing us in terms of the profitability, or some understanding on the same?
Yeah, so you see, the technical grade urea is used largely in the chemical industries, particularly dyes and intermediates. So they were not getting because they cannot import urea, because import of urea is to canalizing agency of Government of India. So neither they can import urea for their production, neither they can use any agriculture urea because that is a subsidized urea.
Correct.
So they were finding it very difficult to get urea for dyes and intermediate production. So government understood their issue and allowed some like GNFC. They were already making PGU from many years, so they allowed it that GNFC can sell some quantity as a PGU. And we are not the melamine plant is a chemical plant, so we are not under purview of Department of Fertilizer for making PGU.
Okay.
So they allowed these chemical industries to buy PGU if it is authentically available within India.
Okay.
So that is now they are able to procure from us, they are able to source from GNFC, and then maybe some one or two small like this.
Okay.
So it is sold like a chemical. It is a technical grade urea is just a name, but it is sold like a chemical to this chemical unit.
Okay. So sales of that technical grade urea would be categorized under our industrial product business.
Yes. Definitely.
So, is it possible to share the turnover of that business, sir?
Yeah. So some indication. So we sell some 35,000 tons of PGU every year.
Okay.
And just like a normal chemical, it is sold between at full cost, so between 35,000 to 40,000 rupees per ton. Last year it was very high because gas prices were very high.
Correct.
These are the broad quantities and broad range, size range.
Correct. And it is profitable at the PBIT level.
Yeah, very much profitable.
Correct. So second question is on our phos acid and sulfuric acid requirement, because I think we have been undergoing a capex also for both these capacities. So if you can just help us explain what is our current requirement of both phos acid and sulfuric acid, and post this expansion, how much we would be more integrated in terms of our fertilizer requirement?
You see, we are the largest manufacturer of fertilizer having sulfur content.
Correct.
And we are the largest sulfur users of in the country in fertilizer segment. So nobody has so much variety of fertilizer which are having sulfur content like GSSP has. So we have sulfur in APS, we have sulfur in ammonium sulfate, like that.
Correct.
So, in Baroda, we, as I said, as a grassroots plant, so we buy sulfur and make sulfuric acid to be used as a fertilizer. And yearly around 4 to 5 lakh tons of sulfur is sulfuric acid is produced by us.
Okay.
At Sika, it's a coastal DAP plant, so we buy sulfuric acid from outside the market, But now, as you mentioned, we have a project to produce our own sulfuric acid at Sika also.
Right.
So, we'll be having a sulfuric acid plant of 1800 metric ton per day at Sika.
Correct.
That sulfuric acid will be used as a
feed.
NPK and this APS fertilizer. And so this is the pure sulfuric acid spectrum of our company.
So total 594,000 tons of sulfuric acid would be used for our Sika plant and nothing would be sold outside, right?
Yes. It will be in-house consumption only.
Right. And sir, for phos acid, if you can just walk us through.
So it's 600 metric ton per day, 2 lakh metric ton per year phos acid plant. So that will help in making DAP and NPK fertilizers in Sika, for which we will be procuring rock phosphate from India and abroad and using this sulfuric acid from that captive plant being set up along with PA plant. And still that will not meet our full requirements of phosphoric acid at Sika, but it will partly help in the regular production there. So with 2 lakh ton of phosphoric acid, we can produce more than 4 lakh ton of DAP and more tons for NPK if you use it for NPK. So that will ensure the supply of phosphoric acid for Sika unit. And it will be much cost effective as compared to imported phos acid, what we get in India.
Right. So what will your total requirement currently for our Sika plant for phos acid?
No, we can go up to 10 lakh ton of DAP at Sika if resources are, raw materials are available.
Got it.
So we need around 4.5 to 5 lakh tons of PA there.
Correct.
So and this will be only 2 lakhs.
Correct. And so just a last clarification in terms of the ammonium sulfate business which we talked about. So what I understood is, let's say if somebody is importing ammonium sulfate, so that is not entitled for a subsidy. So let's say if we are producing ammonium sulfate and let's say N rate is being fixed by the government and gas prices goes up, so that burden falls on us and that can't be recovered through the higher subsidies by the government. Is it correct understanding, sir?
If you can just repeat your question, yes. Subsidy, for imported AS, it is not available.
Correct. So,
but what you explained, just again say.
I can again say that. So, let's say, sir, ammonium sulfate subsidy rates are being fixed by the government based on the N, because it contains N and sulfur both, nitrogen and sulfur. And N is derived from our natural gas through ammonia, right? So, let's say if your natural gas prices goes up, so N rates will also go up. So, there won't be a case where we won't be able to recoup the subsidy element on the ammonium sulfate business and we have to incur the losses just because we have to purchase natural gas at a higher rate. So, is it a safe assumption, sir?
No. Government don't take into account natural gas price for N. They look at imported urea cost, to the country, and from there they derive N. And the N, that is nitrogen in ammonium sulfate and nitrogen in urea, both are different kind of nitrogen. So, they decide N subsidy based on imported urea, so it has no relation to the gas. So if something natural gas price increases but imported urea comes cheaper, then we may have impact on ammonium sulfate business.
Thank you. Nirav, I'll request you to come back for a follow-up question. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir. Namaskar, Nidhi, ma'am.
Namaskar.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
Nidhi ma'am, we have your number.
Yes, sir. Yes, thank you, ma'am. When we look at the other income component of 81 crore, that takes into account the buyback income also that had been accrued?
No, buyback is going to the other comprehensive income, OCI, because every quarter we provide for a fair value of this quoted investment. So whatever price change has happened quarter over quarter, everything is captured in OCI. Okay. So when we do actual sales, then only OCI gets impacted, not the upper portion.
Okay. So sir, what explains this other income component of 81 crore?
So one note, we have put about some 34 crore old interest penalty return back. So that is the main thing, and other is because of good cash balance, we now earn regular interest income. So that is the other major part.
And coming to our industrial product segment, sir, I think so there the negative margins are continuing now on Q-on-Q basis. So taking into account the current market dynamics, what should one penciling in, and what steps are taken to reduce its impact, or is it only the market driven exercise and we are at the vagaries of the market?
Yeah, it is a market driven, because industrial products are priced at import price parity, and if we don't maintain IPP, then people will import which are freely available. Then we will have impact on our plant's production. So definitely it is market driven, and but we are trying to change the customer base. We sell to the small timers who don't have access to the import route easily. So they are ready to pay some more price for the caprolactam, melamine, etc. Then nylon sheets, we are trying to tie up with OEM automotive manufacturers who are ready to pay more price given the right kind of products. So we are in touch with them, and through our ADC, that is Application Development Center, we are developing that grade that they want in their cars and other vehicles, so that we have a continuous order book as well as better profit margin. We also try to source imported chips, which are a little bit less costly, particularly from China, and mix it with our nylon 6 chips so that the ultimate product compounding nylon chips, they have less cost impact, and we are able to sell more volume, so we don't have to depend only on our captive manufacturing. So these are the ways we are trying to get better realization and remain in the market so that imports, cheap imports, don't throw us out. And some of the raw materials also, which we are making in-house, so we are trying that if we can get it at cheaper rate from imports, then our costing will come down, and we need not run those sections of the plant. So these efforts we are making to tide over this market-driven thing.
And sir, for industrial product, do we have inventories also at in our hand, and we have to take mark-to-mark revision?
No, we don't have much inventory, but unlike fertilizer, this price changes every month. So you have gain and losses depending upon the inventory cost you are carrying.
And sir, the exit prices for December for our major chemicals, what have been our trends for January and the current month? How are the price trending for the specific industry product that we sell, our basket?
So, caprolactam price have increased, but so again, benzene price also rises. So, the spread does not improve substantially. And in melamine and all, the prices are quite stable. Nylon price, because of the Chinese New Year and vacation, there are less imports, so we are able to increase the price in the nylon product. We have to just see the market and behave. But we don't have any demand issue, so that is a good part. Whatever we are producing is being sold off.
So just to get the sense, for the month of January, the average selling prices or the losses which we have incurred in the December quarter, have they narrowed down or are they profitable at least for the industrial segment for the first month? Or if you could give some color, because
there is some improvement in realization and profitability, but it will not be, we are not out of range. There will be some losses on overall basis in January.
And lastly, sir, on the inventory part, this 92 crore change in inventory that is increased, is attributable to the fertilizer segment only then?
Yeah, because this is off-season, so we don't do any advance billing. We do whatever is required by the field. So there will be some inventory during this quarter. But immediately from April onwards, the demand will start and we will be stocking those things with the dealers and retailers.
And how should Q4 be shaped up, sir, for the fertilizer segment?
Some improvement may be seen because phosphate prices have reduced by $17 and ammonia prices have also reduced from more than $500 to around $400 or less than $400. So some relief may be there in the costing and so some improvement in margin, but not any significant improvement is seen unless subsidy is changed.
Okay. But as of now, there will be no negative impact. Earlier, the change in subsidy, everything has been tested as on.
So whatever October onwards, whatever was to be done, government has done. So that there is no further negative impact. We are waiting for some positives if really it happens. Otherwise, it will come from April only.
Because the country will now move into the election mode, maybe a week from now.
Right.
Achar Sangita ka palan hoga. So in that case, do we expect any revision in the subsidy or tinkering with the same or what have been historically done, sir?
No, government is quick in reducing the subsidy, but increasing it is difficult. So, more or less, it will be from April onwards only.
Okay. So, then we'll have a negative impact on the same this quarter also.
Yeah, no negative, but whatever has been done from October, that will continue to impact, make reduction in rate.
But prices of key raw materials are trending lower only. That is
it is a little bit lower compared to October-December quarter.
Right. And last point on the power and fuel mix and the employee benefit expense. How are these two line items going to behave? Firstly, for the power and fuel, sir, that has gone up Q1Q also. And employee cost, what should
some be? Increases, some minor differences there. On Q2, Q3.
Hmm.
But fairly, it is fairly stable. And as you know, rupee is our exchange rate is also fairly stable. So that impact is also not that much. So
And on the employee and the other expenses, any particular color you would like to?
Yeah, so as we saw last time, wage revision has been done from 1/1/23. So that provision has been incorporated in the employee numbers. So till March 24, that will keep showing right and it will stabilize.
So this run rate of 175 crore will be there going ahead.
Yeah, overall impact of you see.
Hello.
It will not be so much. It will be little less.
Okay. And on the other expenses, what explains this reduction of 50 crore? Not exactly 50, 31 and 70. Yes. 48 crore reduction Q1Q?
That is because a lot of employees are retiring also, no? So, we are rationalizing the manpower and reducing the duty points and we don't fill up the post person retires. So, all those savings are also coming. So, we are aware of the rising employee cost but trying to compensate number of employees managing the company. So it will pay over a period of time.
Just to get it clear, sir, for other expense going down, it is because of the employees getting retired.
No, other expense is definitely not in employee cost. One is packing expense is lower because of lesser production and lesser dispatch. So that was the case. And then last year we had made some provisions for some litigation so that those provisions are not repeated in this quarter. So that is the major difference of reduction in other costs.
Okay. Thik, sir. Dhanyavaad and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shrenik Mehta, self-investor. Please go ahead. Shrenik, may I request to unmute your line, please? Shrenik, if you can hear us, please unmute your line. Shrenik, if you can hear us, may I request to unmute your line and go ahead with the question, please? Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you for the patient hearing and your cooperation during this difficult time. But as we have assured you in past also, the growth story of BSFC is intact and barring the market forces, whatever best we can do, we are doing it to increase the top line and bottom line. That will be a continuous focus for us. And on a medium and long-term basis, we'll keep on adding new projects and new product lines so that we march ahead on the again top line, bottom line, and no stagnation ever comes in our way. So thank you once again and we'll meet after Q4 results somewhere in May. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Gujarat State Fertilizer and Chemicals Limited and Anurag Services LLP, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.